answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
That is part of the greeting Trump was getting going to the courthouse just yesterday as he stopped by a construction zone where a large construction project is underway. And the workers saw him, all came out, started gathering around him. And, of course, he loved it, reveled in it, gave him a power feeling as he went to the courthouse. And again today, he's back in the courthouse again. But that feeling and that echo of those union workers stresses again the rank and file of unions across this nation are not in bed with their bosses who sold out to the leftists. They're going to stand firm. And, of course, there are those detractors. Immediately there were tweets put out, oh, well, they're not really construction workers or they'd be working. And then they're all fake. They've been put there. They just gave them hard hats to stand around and do that. The progressive regressives or regressive progressives just won't accept facts when it's put in front of them. Deny because it ruins their narrative. And, of course, word today, see if he's going to stick by it. Biden said on the Howard Stern program on Sirius XM, I'm willing to debate Trump. He said, I'm willing to debate Trump. Trump said, bring it on. Now, last night I was attending, as I'd mentioned to you, the Show Me Patriots meeting in Fenton at the GOP headquarters in Fenton, and we were discussing that very question. I said, there's no way that Biden's going to debate Trump. Well, maybe I'm going to be proven wrong. I would love to see that debate. And then someone said, well, what about the vice presidential candidates coming? I would say, I'd love to see that too, but that's not going to happen if there's not a presidential debate. I think Trump would say, no, we're not going to do a debate against Kamala, unless we get to debate Biden first or with that. So we're going to see how this shakes out. But Biden today, Howard Stern saying, yes, I'm willing to debate him. I imagine his staff just absolutely wet their pants when he said that. And that would be the least of what they might have done to their pants. This morning on the Mike Ferguson Show with Mike, Gabe, and Stell, they were warning that this weekend you're going to be possibly assaulted. Let me back up. I use that word on purpose just to catch your ear, but more accurate would be I did overstate that you're more likely to be swarmed by those pushing you to sign their petition to codify abortion in the Missouri Constitution. And we've been told, and again, Mike Ferguson Show brought it up, that some of these folks are being brought in from out of state, which they need more people to help pass around the petitions to get people to sign them. And apparently they're being paid $35 an hour. I'll sign up to carry those around. I'll take $35 an hour to sign, walk around 8 to 10 hours. Then they're going to go right in the circular file outside my office. Of course, I'm sure you had to turn them in to get the money. But, of course, I could just take several sheets and start filling them out with all kinds of names and false addresses. If anybody bothers to check, they'll see it's wrong, but I'm fearful that they'll just do the count and look at how many they've got on there. So the advice is from us, when they bring it to you, you don't have to get in an argument with anyone. You don't have to be shouting back and saying, I know what you're trying to do. You just decline to sign. Politely say, no, thank you. And I'll give you a story that happened to me some weeks ago. I'm in one of our communities, and someone came up and asked me to sign this petition. I said, for what? Said, well, more pay for teachers. I said, well, let me see that. And I look at it, it's just a bunch of names. There's nothing on there identifying what it was. I said, where's the document that specifies what I'm signing? Well, I don't have that. I just have the sign-up sheet. You certainly don't sign that one. And even though I would support pay for good teachers that are actually teaching, not indoctrinating, I declined to sign. And that's what you should do this weekend as you're being approached pumping gasoline or whatever else you're doing. All right, back to New York and the Trump Manhattan case, as reported by Fox News earlier.
We love Trump! We love Trump! We love Trump! We love Trump!
That was happened just moments ago. It is 7 a.m. in the East Coast right now. It is Thursday, April 25th. This is Fox and Friends, and you're watching former President Donald Trump meeting with construction workers in New York this morning around 6:30 Eastern time. As he got a massive day for him legally, but he already had a great start. Probably emotionally.
It was so smart of him to do this because now everyone across the country is talking about it and will be throughout the day. Hopefully he'll do something like this every day before he goes to court. In just a few hours, he's going to be back in that New York City courtroom for this is day seven, right, Brian?
Yeah.
Day seven of his criminal trial.
Alexis McAdams is live.
Right here. Hey, that's right. So where would you rather start your morning, right, than in Midtown Manhattan? For these construction workers and union members who got to catch a glimpse of former President Donald Trump, who had quite a lot to say. He spent a lot of time shaking hands and trying to talk to these construction workers. Many of you guys who say they were lifelong Democrats, but are now just fed up with how the country and where the country is heading, rather.
So, again, that was based upon yesterday's visit and stop off at the job site, the very job site that the left wants to deny is even happening, and those weren't really construction workers. They're just people wearing hard hats. You keep believing that. You keep believing that. Well, now, what about this case that Trump is facing by Alvin Bragg trying to go after the Stormy Daniel hush money? That's really what they often refer to this case by. Jonathan Turley, the Fox News analyst, George Washington professor, said right now, You're seeing the prosecution totally lost, and it's a win for Trump.
They're doing a good job, largely allowing the case to collapse on its own weight. You know, this case thus far is about as good a model of prosecution as the Titanic is a good model for navigation. I mean, I don't understand why they would start with Pecker. In my view, he's disastrous. You know, first of all, I'm speaking as a criminal defense attorney. Most good prosecutors, if they know that the criminal defense attorney is going to bring up something damaging, will bring it up themselves. And the most damaging aspect of Pecker's testimony is that he did the same thing for a wide variety of celebrities. I mean, that is really quite damaging.
Pecker was the owner and editor-in-chief, I guess, title-wise, for the National Enquirer. And the allegations were that he was being paid to catch and kill. Now, what the reference is, not physically kill someone, but to catch stories that might be damaging to Trump or others and not let them be published, stop them. That would just be inside the National Enquirer. Well, the National Enquirer is always, you know, bannering that you must know, you have to know, you want to read. But if he was catching stories that might have been damaging to Trump, and especially references Stormy Daniels thing, that's what Alvin Bragg is claiming that Pecker was doing, and that adds credibility to his case against Trump. I don't see it doing that at all. And Turley's remarks are right on target. If you're going to follow the prosecution's guide for how to put the case on, it's like a navigation guide for the Titanic. Not a good idea, the way they were doing it. And then, of course, Turley brought up the very fact that Pecker and what he was saying is not building their case, it's actually undermining their case.
The most damaging aspect of Pecker's testimony is that he did the same thing for a wide variety of celebrities. I mean, that is really quite damaging. And by not revealing that to the jury in your direct, there is a sense that there was a hiding of the ball here. You can lose credibility with the jury. I mean, because that's really quite remarkable. Pecker said that he was doing this for Trump decades before he ran for office. He said he did this for people like Schwarzenegger. Was he trying to get Schwarzenegger elected president? Because he can't be president.
He can't be president because Arnold was not born in the U.S. of A. So he can't be president by the Constitution. So the whole weight of their case, introducing Pecker as their first and prime witness, and of course then they got Michael Cohen now, the the so-called Trump fixer, the guy that was taking the money and paying off Stormy Daniel and putting into place the non-disclosure agreement, which she took the money and then turned around and spilled everything anyway. And, of course, Michael Cohen was caught in perjury and lying, had to serve some time in prison. And, of course, he was claiming that I was doing this only at Donald Trump's bidding. I was trying to hide it. Well, everyone is asking still, where is the crime? You don't want something to be made public? So be it. That's not a crime. Bragg is trying to claim they were using federal election money for the campaign, money that had been given to the campaign, and he was using money that under federal election rules can only be used for campaigning, not hiding something like this. He's nowhere near proof, not with these two. Well, that is, of course, the Manhattan prosecutor continuing his case. The Supreme Court justices now weighing the almost three hours of oral arguments that they heard yesterday. Normally, they limit a case 2 hours max. They went 3 hours. Trump attorneys claiming that Trump does have executive immunity, as special counsel Jack Smith, of course, is trying to pursue criminal charges against Trump regarding the alleged election fraud against Biden. One legal analyst on MSNBC admits he needs a gut check.
We're talking about the scope of presidential power. We're talking about the nature of separation of powers. We're at the heart of American democracy right now. So we're watching this and it's high drama, but it's also happening against the backdrop of protest all throughout the country. The first time we've ever seen a president in a courthouse, right, held. So this is really American democracy in the balance. Right. And so I'm really interested in what the lawyers say. But as an American, I'm trying to figure out what my gut is saying. Where are we as a country in this moment?
Let me help you with your gut issues. We're in a chaos situation created by the current administration. And we have persecution underway more than prosecution. How's that for your gut check? Oh, you didn't like that one. That was Eddie Claude. Eddie Claude Jr., Princeton professor, deals with African-American studies, theological studies. Originally did go to Morehouse College, but now he's got the Princeton doctorate, so he lauds that around. But he's saying, again, as an American, I'm trying to figure out what my gut is saying. Where are we as a country at this moment? You need a gut check to know that? Well, there's your issue right there. You might have a doctorate from Princeton, but you don't have any common sense. Now, one of the NBC legal analysts was talking about how they saw the case going down in front of the Supreme Court justices, and as it was being argued, this is NBC's Ken Dilanian.
I think we heard a majority of justices today expressing a desire to create some kind of limited immunity for official acts for president. And you heard, as Karen said, Justice John Roberts expressing concern about the broad nature of the D.C. Circuit Court ruling, which said essentially there is no immunity for any act whatsoever. A majority of conservatives seem to be concerned about that. And you heard specifically Justice Alito and Justice Kavanaugh raising concerns about essentially runaway prosecutors, unethical attorneys general, prosecutors who are bringing improper cases against presidents. That was their concern.
And it should be every American's concern. I don't care which side of this you're on. You should be concerned about runaway prosecutors who mock up charges, put people on trial, and end up throwing them in jail while they're waiting for trial, such as, oh, I don't know, January 6th and A.G. Merrick Garland. How's that for an example? And you can jump all the way back to the McCarthy era when they were basically supposedly rooting out communists but gathering up anybody they didn't like, and Jews in particular. We'll come to that a little bit later. But I will give him Dilanian credit for pointing out exactly the views on that side. I'm looking at a piece from CNN, and they began by saying in their opinion piece, the Supreme Court appeared ready to reject the former president's claims of sweeping immunity and the broad protections he sought to shut down his federal election subversion case, I should say. But then they were looking at differences between official acts, private conduct, And they also, after saying that they appeared ready to reject, they have to admit later down as a key takeaway, the Supreme Court seems unlikely to fully resolve the immunity question. Now, I let you hear the analyst talk about what he saw among the conservative justices. I always give you balance. Here's what he heard and saw in his view from those on the other side.
Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson had a concern on the other side, which is what happens when a president can't be prosecuted? Will that make the Oval Office a center for crime? Those were the sort of contrasting views. But I think what we heard towards the end of the argument was that whatever happens here, Donald Trump is not out of the woods, because even his own lawyer conceded that many of the acts alleged in this indictment were purely private acts, not official acts. And I didn't hear a majority of justices ready to immunize presidents for private acts. And so towards the end of the argument, they seem to be trying to forge a way that even if they decide there's immunity for official presidential acts, this case can go forward, perhaps we even without lengthy delays, and it could be solved with a jury instruction saying, look, he's liable for the private acts. We're still going to talk about the official acts, but he's not liable for those. And so, again, we'll have to wait and see. And also important will be when this court rules on this case. All of this plays into whether we can see a trial before the election.
And that in particular is what the left want. That's the whole idea of having this trial. They bring it now only because Trump announced he's running for the presidency again. And the same thing in the Manhattan case. Throw everything we can find at the man. Do what we can to dishonor him, to turn away his cult following, to damage him where no one wants to touch him. And what they're doing, every day he sits in the courtroom, and the entire time during that Supreme Court debate yesterday, he is gathering more support by not even being on the campaign trail. They're going to have a hard reckoning with that, but it's going to come around at some point. In the meantime, I'm looking at an opinion piece written by the Washington Post saying the Trump immunity case is easy. The Supreme Court shouldn't make it hard. They went on to talk about, obviously, it goes without saying, the president tasked with faithfully executing the laws of the U.S. cannot violate any one of those laws without fear of criminal prosecution after leaving office. Nonetheless, the Supreme Court decided the question is serious enough as it relates to Donald Trump. It must deliver an answer rather than leaving the matter to the lower courts. So this opinion piece from Washington Post saying if you send it back to the lower courts, you're not doing your duty as the Supreme Court, and you're certainly not doing the bidding and the duty as the progressive regressives like to see it being done. Later in this hour, how best to handle mob rule on university campuses, especially with this anti-Semitic drumbeat that's happening everywhere now. In the next hour, comedian John Lovitz on discrimination against Jews in Hollywood. And he's got some compelling stories and interesting stories also about some of the actors in Hollywood that realize if I really am going to stay in Hollywood and become a star and get prime opportunities, I might need to change my name considerably. And he's got a very interesting story regarding the producer Gone with the Wind. That's in the next hour. My guest coming up is one you love to hate, anti-Trumper, John LeBoot. Lock and load, ready, on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Pigeons, they are everywhere, and they're very good at dive-bombing freshly washed cars. Wellington Environmental reminds you, those droppings are more than a nuisance, they can be a major health issue, especially massive droppings on buildings or in parking garages. So who do you call to safely clean it up? You do what many hospitals, universities, public buildings already do. You call Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental has been dealing with all kinds of hazards for 35 years. Special people, special skills, special equipment. Wellington gets it done. So to avoid health issues ranging from pigeon droppings to mold to chemical leaks, contact Wellington. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30
on News Talk STL.
Are you thinking about buying medicine online? A search for online pharmacies yields more than 20 million results. But which ones can you trust? Medicines bought from unlicensed online pharmacies can be dangerous. You may get a fake drug, your condition may get worse, or you may experience a bad reaction. Don't put your health at risk. To learn how to find an online pharmacy that's safe and legal, visit fda.gov/besaferx. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL.
And we're down, we go, 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 go. We're down, we go, 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 go. So we're down, we go, 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 go. We're down, we go.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My guest is always bringing some controversy from a lot of the listeners that hear him, and they get upset that I even have him on the air. But he's I consider John a friend, but also a great engaging guest. John LeBoutier, former New York congressman, author of the book written 45-plus years ago, Harvard Hates America. He was already identifying what we're seeing on campuses nowadays. John is a Reaganite, an anti-Trump. In any way possible. John, welcome aboard again.
Good afternoon, Larry. Glad to be back with you.
Well, we haven't had a chance to discuss with you some of these things going on. Let's begin with the one happening in your backyard, basically, the trial for Trump in Manhattan. Your thoughts, let's begin there.
Well, you know, I kind of wish it was on TV the way the OJ trial was, because I agree. The whole country should see this thing instead of having to read transcripts at night or hear what reporters are describing, because nothing's the same as seeing it ourselves. But anyway, it's not on TV, so that's the way it is. And sounds to me, and I read the papers and I watch the news, that the prosecution is off to a good start in presenting their case. Well, we've only had one witness who's going to wrap up today, this fellow David Pecker, the owner of the publisher of National Enquirer.
Right.
I remember like 20 years ago, before any of this stuff was public, I remember reading then that Trump, every weekend in the winter, Trump goes to Palm Beach from New York and used to let Pecker ride on his plane with him. And it was clear they were friends back then. And, you know, Trump's a smart guy about how to publicize himself. He really spent a lot of time in those days in New York.
While he was a Democrat.
Yep. Yeah. But you know, he's only a Republican or a Democrat at the moment to help himself. I mean, he's a publicity hound, and
anybody that's going to run for office is a publicity hound. You know that,
absolutely.
John.
But he wasn't even running. He wasn't even running back.
Well, let me break down some of what you said. You think the prosecution's off to a good start. I'd like your reaction to Jonathan Turley, Fox News legal analyst from George Washington University. He said the way they're going about it is like giving a navigation guide for the Titanic. It's not good.
not good for Trump is what he means.
No. He says not good for the prosecution because they're leading to, it looks like they've been trying to hide the ball because they didn't really push the issue of Pecker as they should have. He says Pecker has been doing this for decades for numerous celebrities and those who weren't just didn't want bad news out. Every presidential candidate or any political animal or any actor, actress that has ability to get someone to catch and kill a story, they want that to be done. Where's the crime?
Right. Well, the crime is going to be in the, it's not paying a National Enquirer. The crime is paying Stormy Daniels and hiding the payment. That's the crime. And
that's the question they're trying to resolve.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's paying off someone not to talk about an affair. What they're trying to do is tie it, obviously, to campaign money and say he took it out of there and used it as opposed to.
No. That is not the charge. Okay. No mention of campaign money. It's Michael Cohen paid out of his money and Trump reimbursed him.
Right.
The money was $130,000. Trump reimbursed him $420,000 and called it legal expenses. And that's incorrect. That's a misdemeanor of falsifying business records.
Okay, I'll grant that.
And then they stepped it up to a felony because the reason it's done is to hide this during the campaign after the Access Hollywood tape.
You don't think it really was done because he decided to run for election again? That's when they decided to step it up from a misdemeanor? No. When they could have done it long ago?
No, they couldn't have done it. They couldn't charge him.
They could have. They could have.
Oh, well, okay. So you're talking about when he decided to prosecute. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter when they decided. The case is ongoing, and he's either going to be found guilty, not guilty, or a hung jury. That's what we're waiting to see. And
you want to make a bet on that one, which way it goes?
Well, I know. I think we wait. Why don't we wait for the trial to happen?
Okay.
I mean, we've had 4 days of testimony.
Okay.
Come on.
So let's go to the U.S. Supreme Court hearing yesterday. They spent 3 hours listening to arguments. Normally, 2 hours is considered a major case. They went almost 3 hours on that. Your take on what they were being told and the questions being raised by the Supreme Court justices?
Yeah, I listened to the whole thing. It was 2 hours and 40 minutes, and it is extraordinarily long.
Mm-hmm.
I have to tell you, I kept wondering. For the 9 justices and the 2 lawyers, what if they have to hit the head during this thing? Better not be drinking a cup of coffee before the thing begins because they don't stop. I mean, it is rapid fire. Again, by the way, audio only, no TV.
Right.
It's too bad, but that's the way it is in federal court.
But at least you're hearing the audio. You're hearing it direct.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I thought basically what they said was that even Trump's lawyer was in agreement that private acts by a president can be prosecuted. And so most of the things that Jack Smith charged him for in this case are clearly private acts. But the one act that the justices aren't sure about is when you mix public and private, and that's pressuring Mike Pence, the vice president, not to count the electoral votes and instead send it back to the states. Trump is charged with that. I think they're going to have to figure out a way to decide, is that a private act or a public act?
Well, let me clarify exactly for the audience as to what you were saying about what John Sauer, former Missouri attorney as well, he said. He acknowledged that some of the alleged conduct supporting the criminal charges against the former president were private. Now, whether it goes on to say that should be waived at that point is not very clear just based on that. But the bottom line is the Supreme Court may well likely be unable to resolve these immunity questions. And if they kick it back to a lower court, as some have suggested, you're not going to get a ruling from the Supreme Court on this. And it's not going to be resolved before November. Which was the entire intent of the left. That's why they wanted to rush and get this done now.
Well, they didn't rush. I mean, they've been investigating January 6th since the spring of 2021. So it's 3 years. I wouldn't call that rushing.
No, timing. You're right. You're right. I stand corrected.
Yeah.
They were looking for opportune timing. Let's put it that way.
No, they listen. I mean,
of course,
they moved
John, they want him
they
found guilty.
Them.
They want him found guilty
indicted
before.
Him. Well, of course they want to find him guilty.
Before
they
November.
Indicted him last summer. Yeah. They didn't assign a special counsel to do this thing until November of 2022. So within 8 months, that guy, Jack Smith, had brought the indictment last summer. And here we are 10 months later, and we still don't have a trial. And there isn't going to be a trial unless he slims down the case and only prosecutes Trump for the admittedly private behavior. That is his behavior, not as president, but as candidate for president. Some of the charges are that. So they could think about doing that.
One of the legal...
But they got to wait and see what the Supreme Court does.
Right. Now, one of the legal analysts watching it for NBC pointed out that he could tell by the questioning on the conservative side of the bench and the others as well, to the extent that how far do we go down this road that we begin to allow run crazy prosecutors just start leveling charges left and right? And this is very similar to what we saw with the Adam Schiff testimony, or I should say impeachment against Trump. The Democrats warned, if you go down that road, you're opening the road for us to do it against you, which is, of course, what they're trying to do. What's your thought on that if we suddenly are allowing crazy prosecutors just bring charges left and right?
Well, I don't think that's happening. I mean, we've
but that's a fear. It's a fear it could happen.
We've had 248 years in this country of the presidency changing hands and changing parties. And we've only had, up till now, two instances where the new president, his administration, has prosecuted the one that just left office. One was Gerry Ford. His Justice Department was looking at going after Nixon, and of course he pardoned Nixon.
Right.
Well, why would they look at going after Nixon unless there's no immunity for a president? And then Bill Clinton, when he left office, there was a special counsel investigating him, beginning with Whitewater, ended up with Monica Lewinsky, but mm-hmm. it was still there. And he made a deal and lost his law license. He didn't go to jail or anything, but he was, you know, criminally investigated by the Bush administration that was coming in, but it was really by the special counsel. So here we got this one.
In each of those cases, it was decided. But
here we've got a president, former president now, Donald Trump, who's been indicted in Georgia, indicted in New York. That has nothing to do with Joe Biden. He is an unindicted co-conspirator now in Arizona.
But all the indictments, let me remind you, indictments are indictments, and I'm going to give you the last 20 seconds, sir.
Yeah, indictments are charges. They don't mean a thing. Impeachment is charges. They're not convictions, because we haven't had a trial yet for Donald Trump. But we're having one now. You know.
Well, I'm looking forward to the result of that and what the Supreme Court, when it decides, and we'll be back in touch to get you on the air, John.
Can't wait, Larry. Have a great weekend.
You too, John. Lift a glass for me and toast. John Labutier.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
John Beal knows that right after a hailstorm, new roofing companies start popping up everywhere. But the Small Business Administration reports 96% of them go out of business within the first 5 years. So how good is that warranty? John Beal started in the roofing business helping his granddad and his dad. Always offering the best roof, best price, best guarantee. John Beal Roofing, not some fly-by-the-night operation. Call my friend John. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Hey, this is a great time to get fantastic deals at Ackerman Toyota, number one volume dealer in the area. Why? Very simple. They want to make you happy. They'll come up with a deal that puts you in the driver's seat. You'll be smiling as you drive off the lot. You got a trade-in? You're going to get top dollar from Ackerman. Looking for a premium used car truck? Ackerman is the answer. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA! That's a big game, man!
He's really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
He is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
The United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
My sponsor, McGuire Moving, has job openings for drivers and movers offering competitive pay. You can be off every night if you want or on the road. You're off every other weekend. Full benefits, insurance, paid vacations. But McGuire is a very good company, so here's a very important requirement. You must excel in making customers happy. Full or part-time job? More information, go to McGuireMoving.com. Apply online at McGuireMoving.com/careers.
This is News Talk STL.
Wubble, wubble, roll the stone, my son. Wherever he lays, happy was his home.
And when he dies,
I'll leave the wolf alone. Now listen to me. Wubble, wubble, roll the stone. Wherever he lays, happy was his home.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
When we have students who are doing things that, I mean, look, some of the stuff with the Hamas, I think is absurd that someone would go out and demonstrate on that. But, you know, when you're chasing Jewish students around, when you're not letting a Jewish professor enter a building, when you're targeting people like that, that's not free speech. I mean, that's harassment. That violates appropriate conduct. And yet at Columbia, at Yale, all these places, those folks rule the roost. They do whatever they want. And these administrators and the presidents of these universities are weak, they're scared, and they don't do anything. You know, you do that in Florida at our universities, we're showing you the door. You're going to be expelled when you're doing that stuff. And you know what? The minute people start to face consequences, you are not going to see this nonsense going on.
That's a good way to put a stop to it. Because otherwise you just appease them and beg them, please don't do it anymore. Can you do that? Well, they're not going to. There is Florida Governor DeSantis talking about all of this is not going to happen in his state. And University of Florida, to that extent, issued some statements through their university police department. And here's what it stated. Now, the University of Florida's chapter of Young Democrat Socialist of America, yeah, they can exist, Marxist right on campus. They put out their statement immediately and saying, the university police handed out flyers with draconian new regulations clearly designed to stop our liberation zone. They will not win. Well, look at that, the draconian regulation. What is that? Now, draconian, to remind you, is means a great severity, harsh, extremely harsh punishment. Like, you know, the guy is guilty of littering, but you sentence him to 40 years in jail. That's draconian. It all comes from an Athenian law scribe whose small offenses had heavy punishments attached. So that's what they're trying to say. We're being punished beyond measure. Well, let me read you exactly what the flyers that they referred to have on them. From the University of Florida, allowable activities. It begins by saying, here's what you can do. Speech, expressing viewpoints, holding signs in hands. So you're allowed to have your speech, you can express your viewpoint, and you can hold signs that say what you want to be said. Prohibited items and activities, no amplified sound, in other words, no bullhorn or anything like that, no demonstration inside the buildings, no littering. And every time they have one of these, they leave a mess behind. No camping, which they'd set up tents around the campus and on the campus. No sleeping on the campus, just out like that doing that. Now, I know someone say, well, what student doesn't sleep even in class? Come on. deal with the issue here, not try to look for some scapegoat. No unmanned signs. By that, you can't just post a bunch of signs all over without people really there. You just put it up and leave it for everyone to see. You can't do that on the campus. No blocking egress. You got to let people come and go from the university. No building structures, chairs, stakes, benches, tables. No camping, including tents, sleeping bags, pillows. No disruption, no threats, no violence, no weapons. And it adds any other and activities, items or activities deemed to be non-compliant with policy and regulations by university officials will also be prohibited. That's draconian? It lays out exactly what you're allowed to do. You're allowed to have your First Amendment rights, which is critical. You're allowed to do that. You just can't do everything else, and you can't use a bullhorn to preach it. And the consequences for noncompliance, as DeSantis was saying, here's where the rubber meets the road. Individuals found responsible for engaging in prohibited activities shall be trespassed from the campus. That means you're going to be off the campus because if you're on it, you're considered a trespasser. Students will receive a 3-year trespass and suspension. So if you're going to that university for 3 years, they will suspend you, and if you're on the campus, they will arrest you for trespassing. Employees will be trespassed and separated from employment. So if any of the staff, faculty are joining with them, they will also be trespassed and separated. They will lose their JOB. It's all laid out. It's very direct. Draconian? No, it's not anywhere near draconian. But you know what they ended up doing while they were shouting and saying, this is draconian? You know what they ended up doing? Well, the University of Florida students that were out there camping out, building their tent city, decided to take everything down and get off the campus, which is exactly what DeSantis was saying. I'm looking at a piece that from CNNNN, and they raised the question, what the pro-Palestinian protesters on college campuses actually want, what they actually want. Now, here you get some very interesting responses. This is, again, CNNNN. I'm giving you the source. And they admit the specific demands of protesters vary from school to school. The central demand is universities divest from companies linked to Israel or businesses profiting off its war with Hamas. Universities largely refusing to budge on that. Experts say divestment might not have a significant impact on the companies themselves anyway. Other common threads include universities disclosing their investments, and they sever ties with Israeli universities, and they support a ceasefire in Gaza. In fact, one of them, a student protester at Columbia, said, we ask that Columbia University pull all investments away from companies that profit off the genocide of Palestinians or Israeli companies that profit off the oppression of Palestinians. How about you add in there that oppress any people and have intent genocide for anyone, including Jews? Oh, well, that's not going to be part of their message. You know that. Let me give you something here. A 1790 letter that President George Washington wrote, 1790, to the Hebrew congregation in Newport, Rhode Island, 1790. President Washington stated, may the children of the stock of Abraham who dwell in this land, talking about the USA at that point, not actually designated as the USA at that point, but getting there, may the children of the stock of Abraham who dwell in this land continue to merit and enjoy the goodwill of the other inhabitants, while everyone shall sit in safety under his own vine and fig tree, and there shall be none to make him afraid. That's pretty strong, isn't it? And I need to correct, I was trying to catch something in the process there saying that it was being delivered before we were the USA. That, again, the date here is 1790. I looked down again. I thought it said 1760. No, it's 1790. 1790, that letter that President Washington delivered to the Hebrew congregation in Newport, Rhode Island. May the children of Abraham who dwell in our land continue to merit and enjoy the goodwill of everyone else here. Look where we are now. And coming up, parents who take their children, to a drag queen show, and in this case, often also expose them to hating Jews? No.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Today what we're going to do is we're going to shout Free Palestine. Can I hear that?
Free Palestine!
If you're a drag queen and you know it, shout
Free Palestine!
If you're a drag queen and you know it and you really want to show it, you're a drag queen and you know it, shout
Free Palestine!
Excellent.
You know what? That was, again, a drag queen event at some, I think, a public library. I haven't had a chance to check on all of it, but also preaching hate for the Jews to these children. And parents that brought them their children there, some of them are sitting in the audience taking part in it. They want to indoctrinate their children into this kind of hate. We know that happens between various nations of the Middle East indoctrinating their children to hate the other nations and people. We understand that in the sense that they are just pushing that agenda all the time. But in this country, can we not push love and compassion and acceptance as the George Washington letter did of 1790 I was referring to? The fact that these parents want to expose their children to a drag queen, first of all, bothers me. And then they want to expose them to this hate. And I'm thinking of the opinion, and I think I put it on my Twitter account, this is all out of bounds in so many ways that these parents should be charged with child endangerment. And I stand by that. There is no reason to put your child in that position, and yet they continue to do it. Some say, well, I want to expose my kids to everything in the world and learn everything. Yeah, but to learn hate, I might want my grandson to learn what it's like to get really drunk and drive crazy on the road. No, I don't, and no way I'm going to. These people would probably go in, let's let our children get drunk and drive crazy on the road. So what if they kill someone? They'll learn something. They've been exposed to something. And if you allowed them to do that, you as a parent allowed them and they're underage, you will be held liable and you will face consequences. Now, several of these, you just can't make this stuff. Boy, it's so hard to get that word out, not the other one. Stuff, you just can't make this stuff up. Let's begin with U.S. Senate candidate Adam Schiff in California. He showed up in San Francisco, California, for an address to meet with some folks who are going to raise money for him. Here's the way the San Francisco Chronicle reported it. Hello to the city. Goodbye to your luggage. Senatorial candidate Adam Schiff's rude introduction to San Francisco's vexing reputation for car burglaries. Thieves swiped the bags from his car while it was in a downtown parking garage. The Highsmith, the Democrat congressman, got stuck at a fancy dinner party in his shirt sleeves and a hiking vest. Everyone else was in suits. Not quite the look the man from Burbank was aiming as he rose to meet powerhouse attorney lawyers for supporting his bid to replace Dianne Feinstein. And the press agent for the powerhouse attorney said, I guess it's welcome to San Francisco. Kind of did it dryly, like, yep, this is what we're doing here. And Adam Schiff has helped contribute to it. They do point out in the San Francisco article, Democrats are struggling to face the consequences of their own policies as criminal justice reform turned San Fran and other California cities into havens for petty crime, smash and grab thefts. At the state level, they're trying to pass laws to toughen penalties for property crime, but without touching Proposition 47 of 2014, which reduced penalties for theft and other crimes. Until, again, there's a consequence, a true consequence, they're going to continue doing it. And again, from the list of, you can't make this stuff up, I'd heard some reports on this yesterday, and now more information is coming out. I'm going to have to credit Colin Rugg for this as apparently having the source nailed down. So the credit on the Twitter account would go to Colin Rugg, and here's the way it reads. Secret Service agent assigned to Kamala Harris allegedly threw menstrual pads at another agent before getting into a brawl with colleagues at Joint Base Andrews, and then added, according to Colin, well, he's writing, or she's writing, maybe DEI and the Secret Service was not a good idea. Agent Michelle Herzig started acting erratically, hid behind a curtain while mumbling to herself. According to a new report, she then threw menstrual pads at an agent, said he was going to need them before telling other agents they were all going to, quote, burn in hell and need to listen to God. After getting relieved of her assignment, she allegedly shoved, tackled, punched a special agent. That's according to Real Clear Politics. She had previously filed a $1 million gender discrimination lawsuit against the city of Dallas in 2016 when she worked as a police officer, accusing colleagues of sexually harassing her. That case got later dismissed. And yet she still gets hired by the Secret Service? Yeah, there's your DEI in effect. And in fact, on DEI, speaking of that, there's a real danger in the skies because we're short air traffic controllers. And apparently to get more in, they've instituted DEI for air traffic controllers. They're not going to care how effective you are and how good you be at communicating with the planes in the sky and tracking them. They're just going to go ahead and make you an air traffic controller. That's scary, isn't it? I'd mentioned earlier about the in Mike Ferguson show this morning talking about some of these folks that are flooding in from other states pushing petitions, especially this weekend. They may be getting $35 an hour to get you to sign the petition, which would basically codify abortion rights inside the Missouri Constitution. The basic response we have for you that Mike reiterated today with Gabe and Stell is you simply decline to sign. Decline to sign. Walk away from them. You don't have to get into confrontation, but decline to sign. Next hour, comedian John Lovitz about how anti-Semitism ruled and maybe still rules inside Hollywood. And he's got some interesting stories inside Hollywood. We have a lot to go in the second hour. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.